Welcome, our fellow lovers of love, and thank you for joining us on yet another excursion through the stream of consciousness down the river of tranquility to fill the lake of life with love.
Good evening, our fellow lovers out there, and hello, Sacramento, and the rest of the blogosphere. Remember, we are on KUBU 96.5 FM, the voice of Sacramento, and the rest.
I'm very excited.
And the rest of the love, what we call the blogosphere, which is all of you out there trying to spread a little love and kindness and empathy, sympathy in the world at the same time. Because we need much, much of it. For those of you on KUBO, you can listen to us at, well, actually, right now. We can hear last week's show right now at 10 o'clock on Saturday nights. And midnight Tuesdays or Mondays, depending upon your view on that. I should put it at 1 o'clock just so I can say 1 a.m. Tuesday morning. It's 12 a.m. Tuesday morning. The first thing you can do on a Tuesday is turn on KUBU and listen to us.
Yeah.
But if you're hearing this now, you won't need to because you've already heard it. But you can always find past shows at latenightlove.us, and you can send us your questions or comments to love at latenightlove.us, as always. And I am still smelling barbecued ribs. I was out with Pastor Roxy and Chef Ernesto, who you can listen to live on KUBU. To Pastor Roxy's at 2, and Chef Ernesto with Food Talk is on at 4. So I still smell ribs. Took a shower and everything. I still smell the barbecue ribs and stuff.
Well, I don't think you smell like ribs.
Well, not I don't smell like ribs, but it's stuck in my nose. I still smell ribs. So I've had an eventful day. It's one of the reasons why we're running a little late tonight. So
yeah.
Yeah, good thing we're not a live radio show because we'd have been all messed up.
In trouble.
We'd be in trouble. Yeah, I'd have to wag a finger at myself, strangely enough. Anyway. All right. We're going to dive right in tonight. We got relationship questions first tonight. Do we always do relationship? Maybe we should roll dice or something. Anyway, that's a whole other discussion.
Ooh, roll dice.
Roll dice.
I like that one.
Let's see which topics to start with.
Yeah, I like that one. We can number it.
And we'll go through. All right. Anyway, so what do we got to start with? We're starting with relationships, something we have failed at many, many times before we finally succeeded. And
we're still practicing.
Hey, man, we're pretty old. So if we're still practicing, you guys should feel all right about yourselves. All right. So what do we got?
Okay. My girlfriend, 19 female, 1.5 years, got a tattoo of my 19 male first initial without telling me. How do I tell her I don't like it?
You probably
you don't, dude.
I mean, if you hadn't told her, tattoos kind of aren't your thing, but you also don't want to lie to her because you don't want to tell her you like it and then she'll go get another one with your second initial on it or something, thinking she's so. This is one of these difficult things. Our initial reaction is you be quiet and whatnot. But at some point, you're gonna have to let her know that while you appreciate the gesture and the sense of it and everything behind it, tattoos really aren't your thing. You didn't need it. You didn't need her to express her love for you that way because you don't want her to do it again.
And she will.
Now, she's obviously someone who's, thinks at least tattoos are meaningful. So she's probably going to get at least another one for herself. And so you're going to have to come to terms with that. So there's the other half of that.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. So, I can get it. A few. So I'm not a big tattoo person either, but I don't. Have a negative reaction to them. So, you can get that. I don't have a negative reaction to tattoos.
No, you don't.
I just don't. They're not my thing, That's nice. I don't get it, but hey, it's not for me, those kind of things. So
You don't want to be pierced with a tiny needle thousands of times.
I don't want to be pierced with any needle once. So, no. The answer is no. But I don't have to get it, right? They're not for me. So why do I need to get them? Yeah, they're for the person who feels it's important. You know, she didn't really do it for you. She did it for her. So there's the other part of that question.
Well, you would hope so, because tattoos are forever. You better do it for yourself.
Well, if it's a letter, you can try to do around it, and a good artist can cover it. But even still, that's a huge expense and problems. So, you know, maybe think of the gesture a little bit more. You know, and when you do cross that bridge, and you shouldn't cross it initially, wait a month or two before you sit, you know, point out that tattoos really are your thing. You appreciate the gesture, but please don't get another one for me. You know, it's probably the way to deal with it. You know, I think it's probably the best way to deal with it long term. Okay, what's next?
Okay, my 25 male mother convinced my 23 female fiance she's a burden that needs to leave me. How do I convince her she's not?
Tell your mother to pound sand.
Yeah, really? What the heck?
My mothers never think anybody, especially at that age, is good enough for the little boy. So it's not uncommon for mothers to attempt to sabotage a relationship. You're going to have to stand up to your mother. That's how you convince your fiance that she's the one you have chosen. It's difficult. It's not easy for any young man. Your mother's taken care of you, protected you your whole life, but now you've got the rest of it to live. Your mother has done your job. Thank her for doing your job good. You know, she's going to have to trust you. So that's a difficult discussion with your mother first. And then you go discuss the conversation you had with your mother, with your fiance, and she will appreciate you for that. She really will. Because we discussed last week someone who didn't have the spine to stand up to his mother. Well, now you need to get one before it becomes a bigger issue.
Yes.
Yeah. Because your mother's not going to stop even after your wedding. So deal with your mother is my suggestion. Okay, what's next?
Okay. Post of the boyfriend, 26 male, of the married woman, 32 female. Now I'm catching feelings. She wanted to present what she wanted, a divorce. Why she couldn't just ask for a divorce, I don't understand. But she produced a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. You know?
No. This question makes no sense. Who poised as the boyfriend?
This man, he's 26.
Okay, he posed as whose boyfriend?
A married woman. She's 32.
So what do you mean he posed? See, when you say he posed as a boyfriend, you're pretending to be a boyfriend.
Yes.
To some non-existent 32-year-old woman?
No, she's a real woman.
Does she know she's posing as the boyfriend?
Yes.
This makes no sense.
She wanted a divorce.
From who?
Another man.
So she's married, but why is he? She's actually cheating on her husband.
Well, they didn't do anything. They're just pretending.
What? My suggestion is stop your. Okay, here's this. Stop. You're a 25 and 20 and 30 year old woman. Stop pretending. Stop playing games. Why are you playing games? You're a 25 and 32 year old. You're in your mid to late 20s. She's in her early 30s, and you're all just playing freaking games. Stop playing games. That's my suggestion. Just stop playing games. This is like stuff that happens on soap operas. Just stop. There's no advice here other than stop it. That's it. That's my advice. There's no good is going to come out of this in any shape, manner, or form. So just stop it. If I couldn't understand all that, then it's too complicated to stop it. It's just a big old game. And guess what happens when the game runs out? Everybody loses. All right, let's move on from that one. Good Lord Almighty. Okay. Okay, what's next?
Husband, male, 40, has discovered after a 10-year relationship that wife, female 35, has a sugar daddy, but she doesn't know I'm aware of the affair. How should I break the news that I know, and how do I save the relationship?
Okay, why would you want to save the relationship? Your wife has a sugar daddy on the side.
For 10 years.
Well, the way it reads is after his 10-year relationship. Who knows how long she's had the sugar daddy?
Oh.
It could be 6 months. Could be before they met, right? How she's paying bills before they got together, which was fine, except now you're together. Or you accept the fact that your wife is a sex worker. Let's be honest. That's what it is. She's a sex worker. She's taking financial considerations for her time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, lots of people have, you know, relationships, you know, with people who are in that line of work. It can work if you all can accept it. But my guess is she hasn't been honest with you, so you can't accept it if she's not honest. And how do you make it aware? I don't know.
Well, it could be pretty blunt.
Well, yeah, you're going to have to be blunt, but don't do one of those things.
What things?
You know, where you make a whole big, huge ordeal out of it because it's not good for you. I don't know. You may actually want to go old-fashioned and write her a letter. Leave it for her. Let's see what she does.
That's a good one.
On this particular, the only reason I say that is because he has this feeling that he wants to save the relationship, and so the only way is for you is to get your feelings out onto something. You probably shouldn't do it with her at least the first few times you run through it, because it's going to go sideways. So the only way you can get your emotions out uninterrupted is to write them down and leave them for her. You know, that's all I can think of. Time where she'll naturally have some time to herself so she can contemplate.
Yeah.
That'd be my suggestion. As bad as it is, it's the best one I can come up with. This is one of these things where there's no good suggestions. So my real suggestion is whatever you do, remember you have to live with yourself regardless of what happens. And you know, you always want to be a better human being than you were yesterday, even through times of difficulty. So, you know, how do you be your best self while you go through this is something to very consider. You know, at the end of it, it's how you act through these things that actually matters. You know, you're the one who has to look in the mirror. All right, what's next?
Okay, 27 male, wife, 27 female, had nude photos that were exposed. She never told me about it. How do I support her?
Well,
an ex-boyfriend took photos of her and decided to blast them on the internet.
Well, I mean, one, if she really wanted to, depending upon the state, that's kind of revenge porn. You could, I suppose, if she was up for it, could file charges. But in the modern world, the best thing to do on these things is just let it go.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of these things that the bigger deal you make of it, the bigger deal it becomes. And the reality is there's so many nude photos on the internet that they'll just slide into obscurity. They just, well, you know, to be hidden in plain sight. Yeah, they may come up and be embarrassing in 10 years, but so what? So will everybody else's. You're just along with everybody else. The less deal that you make of it is probably the better thing off to do. And the thing is, if you know about it, she hasn't discussed it with you about it, and she doesn't want to.
Yeah.
Now, if you can tell something's bothering her, and it's bothering her, then you may want to bring it up. and figure out. But the question is, how can I support you? You don't ask us, you ask her.
Yes.
You know, if she wants to go, you know, through a civil lawsuit or the legal path or some form of legal path, then you support her for that. She wants to let it go, then you support her through that. My guess, my suggestion is don't make a social media crusade out of it. Then you're just kind of announcing it to the whole world. So don't do that. So ask her, you know, if it's appropriate. She may just not want to deal with it because she may have decided she's just not going to let it impact her life one way or another, and she's moved on already, which would be very healthy. Okay, what's next?
Okay, I, male, 27, falling out of love with my boyfriend, male, 26. Apparently, it has become all about the sex.
Well, that could happen. Now, first you have to understand, A, have a discussion about it, but, you know, relationships ebbs and flows. You know, sometimes you love your partner more than others, but you don't really. And sometimes, you know, in your 20s, you do fall out of love.
Mm-hmm.
You grow apart. It's not the end of the world. It hurts, but it's not the end of the world. You know, you've both changed as people. And then, you know, sometimes you kind of lean on what's easy and works in the relationship. And in this case, it's intimate relations. And, you know, so that becomes essentially the foundation of the relationship, which is not healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, you're going to have to decide, is this just one of those periods of that relationships go through, or is this genuinely growing apart? And the only way to figure that out is to have a difficult discussion. You know, but you also, those difficult discussions can rekindle the remind yourselves why you care about each other in the first place. So, you know, there's risks, but there's also rewards. There's also potential rewards if you both realize you've grown apart. Then, you know, you get to move on and become your better selves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it hurts for a little while, but in the long term, it's better for both of you. So, this is a difficult conversation to have, but it's one you've got to have. Okay, what's next, Bobby?
Am I wrong to be mad at my girlfriend because she doesn't meet me? She always wants... Okay, he's 19, she's 18. She always wants to be picked up at her place. She won't meet him at a restaurant or pizza place or bar or anything. She insists he comes and picks her up at her house.
It's not all that unusual. Maybe she's a bit more traditional. You know, maybe she wants to be able to get a little tipsy and not have to worry about driving home, you know, or the expense. Maybe she just liked the romance of it. I don't know. Now, if it's hugely inconvenient, like she's an hour away and you can't meet halfway in between or something, but, you know, if it's a 10-minute drive, you know, do the 10-minute drive. And gets annoying, but I get it. But yeah, she wants a more formal date, and you're going to have to decide if that's okay with you or not. Now, at that age, you know, this is one of these things. You're literally trying to figure out the barriers of your relationship, what you want in and don't want in a relationship. Maybe she's a little needier than you want. That's fine. You know,
mm-hmm.
Maybe you can have a discussion. Maybe you should actually have the discussion. But hey, is there a reason you want me to pick you up all the time and we can't meet halfway or split these things on occasion? You know, find out the actual reason and then move on from there. Because at 19, a 19-year-old male, my guess, hasn't actually asked, would be my hasn't done the simple thing. Hey, I got a question. One day when you're sitting there, why is it that I, is there a reason I pick you up all the time that we can't meet? It bothers me a little bit. Maybe tell her it bothers you a little bit. You know, don't accuse her of anything. Just find out why.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What's next?
Okay, my best friend has been lying to my best friend, 24 female, has been lying to me, 24 male, repeatedly, and I can't stop feeling hurt. He doesn't have a lot of friends.
Yeah. And what she lied to him about?
Stupid stuff.
Maybe she doesn't want to hurt his feelings.
But by not being honest, that's hurting his feelings.
Yes. That's the double-edged sword of that. You might be saving their feelings in the short term, but you're hurting their feelings in the long term. And so my question is, have you asked her about it? Maybe she's dealing with something else. And, you know, maybe she's got stresses in her life, and so she's just taking the path of least resistance. And she's doing it with you because it's safe. But the only way you can do this is to be a best friend and suck it up and go have a conversation with her. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got a question. Why are you not being honest with me about all these goofy little things that make no sense? You can do this with your best friend, right? You could actually kind of have a real difficult conversation with your best friend in a very blunt way.
Yeah, you can. It's your best friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and if you can't, then they're maybe not your best friend. So my guess is you'll find an interesting response that she's under stress or something. And she's just taking a path of least resistance because she doesn't want to go down some road. And she may not even be actually aware that she's doing it, depending upon how much stress and whatever she's dealing with. So try some empathy before you go off the rails. All right, what's next? We're moving on to parenting questions.
Parenting, yes.
All right.
Is it okay to allow son 12 to stay home for the day after being punched at school?
Well, sure. I mean, school is such a difficult environment for us kids that age. Now the question is, what happened? You're gonna have to figure out the whole, if A got punched for a good reason, you know, or at least a reason, you know, may have been, sometimes you know, what is it? Oh, there's an Eddie Murphy joke. Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. There's a reason someone punched you in the mouth. You know, sometimes it's a bully thing, and sometimes he may have been the bully, and someone stood up to him. You're going to have to figure out the situations, because the actual response is dependent on the situation. You know, your son may be being bullied, and maybe the school isn't right for him, is another potential solution. I mean, avenue. You're going to have to find out more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Son is always belittling his girlfriend. Just a typical boy, clumsy, showing affection. No.
No, probably. Because remember how boys interact with boys. He's treating her like he treats his friends. And to girls, remember, that is not proper behavior, because you guys don't interpret it the same way those boyfriends do. His male friends do.
Yeah.
What you have is the opportunity to teach your son how to do it properly. You know, that may be acceptable behavior amongst your friends, but not amongst people
you care about.
Well, no, because he cares about his friends, so you can't say that's not about people he care about. But, you know, girls interpret these things differently, and you are going to lose the thing you care about unless you change your behavior. And two, you also let it know that you and your mother don't find it acceptable. Precisely because women interpret those things differently.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, men have a vastly different, we show our affection towards other men, especially when, you know, vastly differently. We're almost abusive to each other, except we don't find it abusive. So that's why it's not. Yeah. And women don't understand it. And
no.
Except you guys are just as mean to each other. You just do it behind their backs. See, we're mean to the people we like, in front of their face. You guys are mean to the people you don't behind their back, but are nice to them. It's the whole world is all messed up. All right. We're mean to the people we like. You guys are nice to the people you hate. I don't know. Who knows? All right, what's next?
Is it appropriate to pack my daughter's friend a lunch? Okay, the daughter was coming home hungry every day, and her mother wanted to know why. And she said her friend was hungry, and she was giving her friend her lunch.
Congratulate your daughter on being a good human being and pack a second lunch.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Don't ask no questions. Just know you're helping somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, it's perfectly appropriate to essentially make two lunches.
Yes.
So, congratulations for raising a good daughter. How's that?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. What's next?
Natural consequence for bringing a Nerf gun to school. The boy got suspended. He was 12. He got suspended for...
being dumb, essentially.
Yeah, for 5 days.
Yeah, well, yeah, he takes his punishment and you move on. It's not a big deal. It's a Nerf gun, but you can't take a Nerf gun to school because schools are overly cautious these days. I mean, when you grew up, we were in high school, you could take a shotgun, hang it into the back of your truck, go hunting after school. Yeah. You can't even take a Nerf gun to school anymore, and you have to be smart enough to realize that. And he'll learn his lesson, and we'll all move on. It's not the end of the world. Yeah. I wouldn't, as a parent, punish him any more than he's being punished, but that'd be me, you dummy. I might get punished for being stupid more than he would be for taking the Nerf gun to school itself. Dummy, what are you doing? All right, what's next?
Okay, my son doesn't want to do anything or go anywhere. He's a teenager and he has anxiety.
Yes, you're going to have to treat the anxiety before he's going to want to do anything or go anywhere. And that is something important to start now. Because you don't want to create a shut-in. You don't want to let that happen. Trust me, it's not good. You've been there. And so the sooner you can help him learning to deal with his anxiety, the better off he's going to be. And because anxiety is with you your whole life. You just have to learn to get stronger in the face of it. That's the only way through it. That's it. Sorry, there's no silver bullets. There's no cure. It's just you getting stronger against the waves. That's it. And then as you get stronger against the waves, you become more confident and the whole thing builds upon itself. But it starts with the fundamental foundation of getting the help he needs with anxiety. And, you know, and a lot of times when they're not staying home, especially these days, you may have an online group of friends that he can relate to. And so he's going where it's safe.
Yeah.
Yeah. But getting him out, even if it's just give him something to go do, make him do, you know, the bread and milk shopping, just so he gets out and has to interact with the world, just something, you know, don't have to do nothing, you just have to go get the bread and the milk, that's it. That's all you gotta do. You know, pick one thing he's gotta do every few days just to kind of make him have the practice of actually succeeding.
Yes.
Yeah. And as he succeeds, he'll start succeeding. And then the other suggestion is find something he's interested in outside, like at a community center. Maybe a lot of them have, programs that are one-on-one or small groups. And just get him out. Because a lot of these programs are designed for kids who have anxiety. They're there for that. And so, you know, they're kind of designed to help those who have trouble socialize. So use whatever resources is available to you would be my suggestion, but get him help as he can. Okay.
My 6-year-old keeps stealing sweets. Well, she's 6. Yeah, you know.
That one says you keep them out of their reach at 6 years old.
That's all you can do. They have no impulse control.
I mean, you can tell them no, I am, and whatnot, but at six, if they can get to it, they're going to. So,
yeah. Sorry.
My suggestion, put them out their reach or just stop buying them. You know, in a couple of years, you'll be able to go, look, if you're going to keep stealing them, I'm going to stop buying them. So, you know, and they'll learn to manage themselves. That's how they do it. But at six, they're not going to be able to. Close, though. They're getting pretty close where they'll be able to. Okay.
Okay. My seventh grader used AI to write a report. Now, the teacher doesn't know.
Okay, well, there's a couple of things about using AI to write a report. AI will not really just sit down and write a report for you that you can turn in without you having knowing what to prompt it properly. And so we as a society are going to have to decide how much of that work. I use AI all the time to do writing. I'm not a natural writer, so I use AI. And what I have become talented at is what to prompt it.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually a skill. And it's probably a skill that's going to be more and more useful. So in a sense, you've got two things here. A, he's becoming useful at using AI in the seventh grade. That's a useful skill. You don't want to, discourage that. But at the same time, time and place, and you've got to learn that, hey, if you're going to use AI to write a report, you're going to have to rewrite it. You just are. Well, because one, AI will actually put funky and goofy stuff in there, because it researches the whole entire internet, and sometimes it'll take a fiction book, think it's real, and plop in facts from fiction. So there's a danger to using AI to write reports, and you will get caught simply because if you don't pay attention, you don't do your proper, you know, quality control of your AI. I personally, as a parent, I wouldn't worry all that much about it. I didn't really care about those things, but I could understand parents who want to take a stricter, you know, role in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what do you do? You're gonna have to decide. Do you want to discuss this with this teacher or not?
Yeah.
This is one of the tough calls. There's no right or wrong answer. There's your answer. And I wish I had a better answer, but I don't. But that's a question that, you know, more and more people are going to have to we're going to have to start dealing with as AI becomes, you know, more and more available to, because you can just ask it a question and it'll write you what looks like a good report. It's not, because it's superficial. It's superficial and likely to have errors in it, but you know, if you just need a quick blog post content or something short for social media, it's great. But you should not actually be using it to write your your school reports. What you might want to do is type it in, you know, paste it into AI and have it, you know, check over your report, offer you some suggestions. You know, ask it to revise and see what the revision looks like. I ask it to revise stuff all the time and then go, nah, my version's better, and use mine. You know, but it's a way to check. It's a way to check yourself.
Mm-hmm. So,
you know, this is a difficult one. That's one we're going to have to deal with more and more. Okay. I'm going to have to start thinking about that more and more, honestly, because I hadn't contemplated it. All right, what's next?
How to teach toddler more patience and understanding. He's two.
This is easy. He model it.
Yeah. But he does something, and if it doesn't work out right away, he becomes frustrated. Yep. He gives up.
Because he's two.
Yeah.
Because he's two. That's what happens. You just let him work his way through it. Now, what you might want to do is pay attention as he goes through life. Your child might lend towards frustration, might get frustrated easily.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something you may have to deal with. Or it could just be two. You know, this is hard to know, but it may be a personality trait. which might have to be managed and he may have to be dealt with, but you're not really going to know that until he's 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but pay attention. But at the moment, I wouldn't worry too much about it. You kind of model the behavior. If it becomes overly problematic, you may want to start correcting him. You know, about how, hey, you know, you understand that you're frustrated, but you can't go and throw toys all the way around, like, you know, kids do. And, you know, like my grandson, you know, called him Bam Bam. He just break everything. And he get frustrated that it was broken. They're like, well, you broke it. What do you want? What do you expect was going to happen? You keep smashing things. All right. What do we have next?
Oh, we have life questions.
Yes, I threw in a few life questions. And we're already 35 minutes in, so we're probably going to have to speed up some of these answers. All right. All right, I'll try and be faster. Okay, what's next?
Okay. My tenant moved out at the end of her lease. I went the next day to my property and the door is locked. The arrangement was for her to leave the keys. What do I do now?
Well, if for some reason you don't have keys to an apartment you own, which doesn't make any sense, you just call a locksmith and have them open the door and change out the lock.
Yeah.
Which you should do anytime you get into a new tenant anyway. So change out the locks. Call a locksmith and change out the locks.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what you do. That's the easy one. You know, don't make a big deal out of it. That's just part of the, you pay the $100 or whatever it is for the locksmith to come. All right. Next.
My friend swiped her EBT card and I used my phone number to get reward points. She freaked out and said she's going to get in trouble for EBT fraud. Is this the case?
No. She's not going to get in trouble. If there was any chance of anybody getting in trouble for EBT fraud, it wouldn't be her, it would be you. But no, A, I don't think that's actually the EBT fraud. And no. Even if it was, they don't care about reward points. They don't have time to worry about that kind of thing. It's like the store giving you extra money for shopping there. They don't care.
They don't care.
It's not, you're not taking any money from the government. You're taking, at best, you're taking money from the grocery store that they're willing to give you. So now, maybe she's upset that you used her phone number, your phone number instead of hers. And that's her real upset.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, if she was just going to not use a number and, you know, you get some reward points, she probably got a few dollars off on some things. It all works out. But if she wanted to use her number, then don't be a jerk. Right? The friend might think that, you know, reward points and EBT cards are some kind of fraud. No, they're not.
They're not.
Okay, what's next?
I caught my tenant using marijuana. As a landlord, what can I do about this situation?
Okay, well, I suppose depending upon the laws in your area, if you were a bit of a Karen type person, you could probably deal with something. But the actual suggestion is mind your own business. Unless they're damaging your apartment, which in this particular case at most, it's you're going to have to do a coat of paint and cleaning, which you're going to have to do when you keep their cleaning deposit. That's what it's for. Yeah. Otherwise, you just mind your own business. In many states, it's a perfectly legal thing to do now. Yeah, you mind your own business. You know, it's one of those things. As long as they're not putting holes in your walls and you know, damaging your building, you pretty much leave your tenants alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, what's next?
Is it fair to say I have a legal right to fire someone for being a Democrat under at-will employment, as long as I put down a different but real issue?
Well, you can fire them for a real issue, and if that's the issue, then... But no, do not. Can we actually just cover something right here? Isn't our world divided and angry self at each other for various things, and now you're going to start employing or not employing someone because of which political party they may or may not be affiliated to? I don't care which party it is. Now, if they're coming and bringing it to work and being a disruption at work, that's a different issue. But just because they support one candidate or another or one political party or another, look, we all have to get along. Every single one of us has to get along. And part of that is accepting that people are different. and that we can, as a society and as human beings, work with people who are vastly different to accomplish common goals. That is the wonderful, wonderful thing about this diversity that we actually believe in here, is it's not just diversity of superficial things like our skin color or our sexuality. These are things that are fundamental, our perspectives and views on lives. You know, these things have value. These things have balance. You know, that give and take keeps us from going off the rails too far. And what happens is when if we split off too much, there's no rails at all. And you just end up with a big train crash. So let's not do that. So stop it. If there if there's a real issue to deal with, then deal with the real issue, but not because what political party you are. Swap that and some other business. Do you want some other business buying Republicans because they're just Republicans? Right? Think about these things. Is that really the way we want the world to go? And that's as far as I'm going in politics on this show. All right, okay. So what's next?
If a gun toter threatens to shoot me because I scream at him for carrying a gun, what should I do? Who should I call?
Well, why are you going to run around and yelling and screaming at people? Why are you going to be the one to create the issue? You're so afraid of what somebody who's just walking around not doing anything to you, you're going to go up and cause the issue. And then you're going to get mad when someone does something because you scared them. Stop being a jerk. You don't like guns. It's perfectly reasonable. But, you know, other places have, you know, constitutional carries. People have permits. It's a perfectly legal thing to do. And if you want to change that, you change the Second Amendment. It's the only way it's going to happen. That's not going to happen. So learn to live with your fears. I think what's more important is, you know, again, stop allowing your fears to impose weird things on other people. Just behave the way people behave. Stop shooting at people. Stop screaming at people. Really? That's your solution to seeing someone who's walking around with a gun is to walk up to them and scream at them? Hey, that's not very smart. Just, you know, you're going to be lucky that the vast majority of gun owners are actually quite peaceful people, and they're not actually going to do anything. But if you scare them, if you think you're just going to sit there and yell at them, scream at them, and they don't know how far they're willing to go, they have a right to defend themselves, and you instigated the thing. You wouldn't. They're the victim, not you.
Yeah.
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 So stop it. That's my guess. Stop it. You know, you want to deal with the gun issues. It's great. We have politics for that, and engage in politics. Don't engage in it. In essentially vigilante behavior. That's silly. Okay, now we're going to transition to work, but this one kind of borders it, so that's why I put this next question there.
Okay. Can a former employer give details about why you were fired to a new employer?
Can they? Yes. Is it dangerous? Yes, most don't. The policy of most employers is to give you know, simple answers over. Was this person employed there? Yes. Right? But here's the trick. They don't tell you if something bad, but they will tell you if you were a great employee. So if an employer doesn't give someone a good thing, they know that wasn't a good employee.
Yeah.
But no, they very, very rarely will talk bad negatively about a past employee, but they will talk good about one. So if a previous employer isn't talking good about you, than the person who knows that you left on bad terms without them having to say anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's how that works. So
yeah,
can they? Yes, but most don't because of litigation issues. But they do have ways of passing on. Right, the world's not dumb. Yeah, John was a great employee. Yeah, he was fine. He was good. Like working with him. We were sad to see him go. Versus, yeah, he worked here. Yeah, about 2 years. You know, those are vastly different conversations, and yeah, people understand. Okay, what's next?
Do you guys eat in the office?
I do not. I come home to eat, and even when I lived where it wasn't reasonable to come home, I would. eat in the car or go somewhere or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just get out of the office.
Get out of the office. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Now, there are times if it's pouring rain or something, you may go in the break room and eat just because you don't want to deal with it. But it's 99 times out of 100, I'm off at somewhere else. Okay.
Co-worker always coming in sick to work. And this is highly annoying.
Maybe they're sicker than you think. They're always sick, then there's something else wrong. Could be allergies. I start the day feeling kind of sick, but it's because the cat sleeps where I sleep. And so I end up with, you know, I got minor cat allergies. And so in the morning, I'm always all quiet. Okay. And it goes away in an hour or so. But it's cool. He sleeps right where I am. Anyway, so it could be like, it's fine. It's minor. It's an annoyance at most. So, but if they're generally, people need money. And if you're always going to be sick, you can't always stay home. But my guess is he may be sicker than you think. And so a little compassion might be called for. All right.
My boss paid me for my sick hours without my consent. Is this legal?
Well, did you call in sick?
No.
What happened?
They just took him out of sick hours.
What, his time off?
Yeah.
Well, he was likely thinking he did you a favor. Right?
Mm.
But also, nowadays, they don't actually have sick hours much anymore. They have paid time off.
Okay.
And so what happens is when you took time off, they gave you your paid time off.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened. That's why you have it. Now, if you didn't want to use it then, that's a different discussion. But it would be fairly routine. I would make a huge big deal out of it. Right? You actually... Now, if they didn't pay you, that would be a different... You know, I have sick hours and they wouldn't give them to me. I'd understand that argument. But, yeah. I don't know. What you would do is and say, hey, next time when I take time... You know, sometimes I just want to save those hours for a rainy day kind of thing. Just let them know. All right. Would be my guess. Okay, what's next?
How do you deal with the constant complaining?
Laugh at it. Make a joke out of it. Yeah. Joke along. Start having fun with it. That's all you can really do. And A, they'll either stop because they're not getting the response they want, or B, you'll start having more fun. Start having fun with it. Join in a little bit, but do it with a twist of humor. You know, people come in, oh, I'm so busy today. Yeah, I know, I'm busier than a one-legged man in a butt-kicking contest. You throw them all off. Join in. I'm just saying, you know, some of these things, they're not worth fighting. So the best way to fight them is to outsmart them.
Yeah.
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 So...
Okay.
All right. What's next?
I'm expected to work overtime weekends to meet deadlines, but my boss, the owner, never comes in on the weekend to help. Is this bad leadership or normal?
It's both. But A, he pays you so he doesn't have to. That's why he hires employees, right? And quite frankly, if you're having to routinely work overtime or weekends to meet deadlines, your supervisor, maybe the boss, may not be, is not managing your times properly.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where the bad leadership comes in. But yeah, owners don't work weekends, likely because, you know, they've hired people so they don't have to. They're willing to pay you time and a half so they don't have to.
Yeah.
Now, would it be good for him from a leadership perspective for him to show up on weekends on occasion and get down with the team? Yes. But think of it this way. Do you really want your boss helping you with the owner to helping you with that? Really? I never did. Not once. Even when the guy was with nice guys, you know, he's apparently smart, very useful, could build all kinds of specialized equipment and whatnot. Did not want him around, and we were trying to run an assembly line. So, no, just stay away. We're good. Thank you. Right? Because he's just going to slow us down. He doesn't know the day-to-day details, right? He can help us long-term. He can help us be better long-term. But the day-to-day, the hour-to-hour thing, you don't want your boss there. He's just going to get in the way. He's just going to make you nervous. So in a leadership sense, yeah, he should show up, you know, bring you pizza and sodas or something.
Yeah.
You know, help with stuff that he can help with, you know, be the low guy on the totem pole for a day. Yeah. But everybody's going to feel awfully awkward during that whole dang day too. So it just is. If the bigger concern for me is that you're routinely working overtime and stuff to meet deadlines, that means you're not managing your time or resources appropriately. You know, maybe you should work harder, fast, sooner, so you don't have to work overtime on weekends. Maybe you guys are a little lazier. I don't know. Or maybe they're not throwing enough resources at it in time. Yeah. Maybe you need an extra employee a week earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So what's next?
How have you successfully convinced people to stop misusing the break room? They're speaking specifically of stopping up the drain in the sink with garbage. There's no garbage disposal.
Lock it. Lock it for a week. It'll fix it. Yeah. If you're unionized, that's probably not appropriate. But yeah, lock the break room. You don't have to lock it for a week. Don't tell them it's for a week. If you've gone through this 10 times and you've told, and someone's still not going to do it, you lock the break room and the people will take care of it. You don't have to do anything. They will find who did it. The employees will find who did it and take care of it themselves. Lock the break room. Creating conditions for these problems to solve themselves is my favorite thing to do. Sorry, the plumbing needs to get taken care of. Plumber can't be here till Friday. Guys are out of luck. Lock the break room. Have your friend Bob come over, dress as a plumber, turn the water back on, and then you're back to normal. Just saying. All right. Yeah, people don't want me as their boss. People think I'd be a good boss. You guys don't want me as your boss. All right, what's next?
Is it reasonable to call out of work due to back pain?
Yeah, if you can't move. Yeah, because, it's perfectly reasonable. Okay, what's next?
Has anyone let AI make work decisions for them?
Well, I know a lawyer had an AI write a legal brief for him, and it didn't go well. So,
ooh.
Yeah. It had all kinds of goofy errors and stuff in it. Like I said, you got to check it at best. I suspect there probably has been, but it probably hasn't gone as well as we think it would. So it's not going to be a big thing, at least anytime soon. But at some point, people will be asking AI what to do, and then we'll make a decision. Kind of like, when they ask everybody else, AI will be one of the people they ask before they make a decision. That's what it's not going to make decisions for you. It's going to present you with options, and you'll make a decision just like normal.
Yeah.
Okay. What's next?
I'm on time every day, work at a fast pace, do everything correctly, get complimented on my work, but always get fired within the first 2 weeks and get told it's nothing to do with my work. I'm just not the right fit. Why does this keep happening?
Poor social skills. I'm going to be blunt. Poor social skills. That's the only reason why that keeps happening. If you're not fitting in, it's because you're not trying. You have to try to fit in. Working hard and getting your job done isn't enough. You have to actually try to fit in. And it's hard sometimes, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And usually if you just work hard, keep your head down, don't make any noise, you can kind of fit in.
Mm-hmm.
So my guess is they're in some way, you know, creating the conditions where people are willing to let them go despite hard work. Maybe they're loud. Maybe they're obnoxious. Maybe they smell. Don't know. Someone's going to have to be honest with you. Find someone who's going to be willing to be honest with you. Ask one of your best friends. You know, find one of those past coworkers who was nice to you.
Mm-hmm.
And ask them the difficult question. And then work on yourself. Because that's a you problem, not a them problem. You know, once, twice, it's a them problem. Repeatedly, it's a you problem. You're going to have to deal with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I have an employee that always clocks out 5 minutes early. They seem to have a good work ethic, but I recently have been questioning it. What should I do as a manager?
Well, A, don't worry about 5 minutes because they're probably giving it to you somewhere else, right? They're, mm-hmm. they're taking 10 minutes for their 15-minute break, you know, and they're clocking out. So it's not like they're hiding it, right? They're using a clock. So, you know, maybe there's likely a good reason for it, you know? Maybe that 5 minutes makes a difference between being on time to pick up their child from school and that child having to wait 20 minutes because of traffic.
Yeah.
You know, there's, you know, maybe that's, I got to catch the bus and either so I catch that bus or I have to wait an hour to catch the next one. Right. And mm-hmm. that sets a whole thing off. Maybe the thing to do is ask if maybe you need to shift. Hey, I noticed you kind of clock out 5 minutes. Do we need to shift your schedule 15 minutes so you can clock out a little earlier and not have to rush so much at the end of the day? Maybe actually be a good boss and figure out maybe if you can help them and not hurt your productivity at the same time.
Yeah.
You'd actually gain some loyalty. You know, maybe they're pushing this last, they're waiting as long as they can. And really, if you get them, what are you going to do? Make them wait 5 minutes? What are they going to do? Shuffle some paper around for 5 minutes and leave? You're not going to get any more production out of them with that last 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you really want to be a good manager, you find out if they need more than 5 minutes and if you can adjust their schedule and work thing to accommodate them.
Yeah.
So that's what a good manager would do. Okay, what's next?
I was passed up for a promotion that went to a less qualified person. How should I handle this with my boss?
You're going to have to define less qualified. Because, you know, the qualifications are maybe works well with others and maybe you don't. You know,
mm-hmm.
oftentimes the qualifications for a supervisor job are vastly different than for the actual work. And so why maybe they don't have the qualifications, the technical qualifications for the tasks, but maybe they do have the managerial qualifications to manage the people who are doing the tasks. And what they did was they brought them up so they could learn the tasks and then hired them to manage the tasks.
Mm-hmm.
That's how people who are underqualified get promoted over people who aren't. It's because those are different skill sets. So what you should do is you should improve your other skill sets. Okay. What's next? We are... Oh, we didn't even... I forgot to end the show for the listeners. Let me throw out... I'll do it at the end. All right. So what's next? We want to go...
Yeah, let's
right.
blaze through them.
All right, we'll do an entry and I'll fix it in post. All right.
Okay. My wife started suddenly enjoying sex. So he wants to know how he can make it last.
You can't. Enjoy it while you got it. These things ebb and flow. Right?
Mm-hmm.
They just do. So enjoy it while you've got it.
Yeah.
That's my suggestion. You know, you work too hard on these things, you end up spoiling the stew. So just enjoy it while you got it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
Okay. My friends with benefits went down on me and I farted in his face. She's 18. She can't even look at him. She's completely mortified.
Yeah, these things happen. I wouldn't worry too much about it. It won't prevent her from wanting to do it again, so I don't think you should worry too much about it. So, yeah. You know, weird things happen when you're engaging in intimate relations with other human beings, you know? So, it's just
fire time.
Welcome to the rest of us. Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome to humanity.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. How do you initiate sexting with your spouse?
This is actually the more difficult one because not everybody finds that kind of thing fun. So.
That's work, man.
Yeah. So first just try and be playful and work your way into it. That's my suggestion. And see what happens. I don't have any better thing than that. All right.
Because you'd never do it.
No. That's far too much. I'll just pick up the phone. All right. And, I hate making phone calls. All right. So what's next?
19 female, would sedatives help to enjoy sex?
What?
She's a virgin and she's really...
No, it's not. I mean, if you were someone who had lots of high anxiety, your person, you took somebody, maybe. But no, you're just going to have to do like the rest of us and be nervous and all weird the first time. Sorry. It's part of the human experience.
Yeah,
it just is.
It gets easier. It really does.
Yeah. And, quite frankly, if you're horny enough, it's irrelevant anyway. You just kind of do enjoy it. So just don't, again, try not to make a big, huge ordeal out of it, and you'll enjoy it more. Like I said, try. I didn't say necessarily succeed. So try not to make a big deal out of it. Okay.
Okay. I, 22 female, still feel weak 6 days after sex. Okay. She's pretty inexperienced.
Mm-hmm.
And her first couple times was quickies.
Uh-huh.
Now she had a long, hours-long session.
Uh-huh.
And she's still feeling weak. She's wondering if she should go to the doctor or something.
It might not hurt. I mean, 6 days.
6 days is a long time, dude.
Yeah, but if, unless you're really like out of shape, but even still, 6 days is not unheard of. I've been sore 6 days from overexertion.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It might. In the modern world, you actually can seek a doctor's opinion and stuff without actually having to go into a doctor, right? Your medical provider likely has an app where you can, get nurse's advice.
Yeah.
Or send a text message to your doctor or email. So maybe just email your doctor or contact one of the online options from your healthcare provider and just ask the question. They'll walk you through it.
Anyway.
And do that because you're still young. And the best way to deal with these things is get educated, and your doctors or medical providers, nurses and whatnot can educate you better on these things than we can. Okay, what's next?
Sex kind of ruined my relationship. They were best friends.
Uh-huh.
Started having sex.
Uh-huh.
And now she's not treating him like a friend anymore.
Right.
Now he's a boyfriend.
Yeah.
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 He doesn't like it.
Well, that was the risk. Now what are you going to do about it? That's the risk when you become intimate with your best friend. You can either end up with a lifelong relationship that's wonderful, or you can ruin what you had. That was a risk.
Well, it's always going to change.
Yeah, that was... that was the point. They changed, and they're not liking the change. So the reality is, you can't go back. You can't put the genie back in the bottle.
Yeah.
No, so either he's going to have to change his frame of reference with towards you, or you're going to have to figure out how to, you know, not treat him like a boyfriend that you want him to be now, for whatever reason. Now, maybe you don't want him to be a boyfriend. You're just kind of instinctively treating him like what? And I suppose in that particular case, then you can deal with it. But my guess is you're treating him like a boyfriend because you want him to be one. And he didn't want that. It's not what he was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And that was always the danger.
Mm-hmm.
You caught feelings, and now everybody's going to be hurt. Yes. Yeah. We've talked about this before, that's the danger of turning your friendship into, you know, an intimate one.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Is your sex life ruined after childbirth?
Only if you let it.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, there's,
you know, it's hard. You know, the biggest challenge is finding the time.
And, you know, there's an adjustment, right? Because you've got to go at least 6 weeks. Most people go 2-3 months before they reinitiate sexual relations after birth.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it becomes a little awkward, right? Because you haven't done it in a while. It's almost like starting over. And, you know, things are different. Body shape is different, right? Hips.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, the old combinations may not work as well. Things change. And that can be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a difficult adjustment. So, you know, but most people find their way back. The ones that don't are when women's view of their body really change. And so that's the ones that have a hard time. Yeah. It's sad because, you know, maybe they put on a lot of weight or something, or they think they put on a lot of weight and they no longer feel attractive and desirable. And so they cut themselves off from those people who find them attractive and desirable. And it's a self-fulfilling thing. And so, you know, he stops trying, and it becomes his whole. That's what happens. But it doesn't have to. Doesn't have to. No. So no. Is it automatically ruined? No. It's only ruined if you allow it. All right. What's this last one we got?
Sugar daddy, 47 male, can't pleasure me, 20 female. Apparently he's a little selfish.
Well, yeah. You didn't sign up to be pleasured. I'm sorry to break it to you. It's not what that relationship is for.
It's about him, sweetheart.
Yeah. So the question is, you know, that's an economic transaction. It's not a relationship. If you want to find a satisfying relationship, most of these arrangements you are perfectly able to. So if you want satisfaction, you're going to have to change your lifestyle.
Sorry.
Yeah. Or you accept it for what it is. Yeah. How do we start with that and end with that? Didn't we start with the same thing of questions?
A sugar daddy, not as a big of it. It was something like that, yeah.
Yeah, good Lord. What the heck?
Apparently sugar daddies are big this spring.
Man, where's all the extra money coming from? I don't know. Who's got money for this stuff? I'm clearly doing something wrong. Anyway, I'm probably better off for it, so let me not complain. All right, we are out of here. Thank you for listening to us this evening. I want to thank that's it. Just thank you for listening. And you can find us on KUBU again, 10 o'clock Saturday nights and midnight Tuesday morning. Yeah, midnight Tuesday morning. That's all I'm going to say that from now on.
Yeah.
Midnight Tuesday morning. You can also find us at latenightlove.us. You can send letters and your questions, comments to love@latenightlove.us. And as me and Lovey, I want to say thank you. Thank you. Say love you. And please remember to love everybody.
Good night.